Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Love that intro. Here we go. Talking sports with the 12 man.
Yes, sir.
Get it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. We are officially talking sports with 12 man once again. I love that. Today, we are officially in the month of February. Time is flying by. Super Bowl week, all that fun stuff. Let's get started talking sports with the 12th man. As always, I am your host, Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow co-host, Mr. JQ Jaquan Jenkins. He wants to be Johnny Manziel's life coach. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man. Hey, that
your work is
cut
out for you, bro.
Hey, listen, man, that's probably a good paying gig. He needs a whole lot of assistance, so, you know, I'm down. How you doing, bro?
So he's officially ready to go to be the life coach. And without further ado, Mr. Robert Ford, how you feeling this evening, Rob?
Man, doing fantastic. Actually, in you guys' fine city here in Atlanta, checking on your Atlanta Hawks 3 seed in the East right now and trying to spy on the Falcons, see what they're talking about doing in free agency and in the draft.
Come on,
hey, man.
We'll be here. Don't tell us.
I know. He's like, you find out on the show. Hey, I'm in town. You find out on the day of that you can give us a heads up, bro. What's up with that?
Right.
Oh, yeah,
11
yeah,
o'clock.
Yeah. I'm here. I get a scoop when I come in town.
he was like, I'm here. That's okay. We feel you, man. All right. Next time, give us a little bit more heads up, more, and we can at least kind of coordinate something. But anyway, without further ado, you're officially talking sports with the 12th Man America. Let's kind of throw out some numbers if you want to reach out to the show and all that fun stuff. You know the drill. Call on the show. That number is always 424-243-9519. We are also available on Twitter. If you go to the number 12, THMNAN Sports, we are available in that format. And last but not least, we are also on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsportswiththetwelfthman, or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man or 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. Gentlemen, we got a lot of fun things to talk about. Let's kind of kick it off, and let's talk about Super Bowl 50. It's right around the corner. I'm sure you guys have been soaking up a lot of the interviews that's been happening, Cam Newton kind of doing this thing. And I do want to talk about his thought, guys, about what he said about or his comments regarding no one has ever seen him before, and just kind of your thoughts about that, too. I'm going to kick it off. I'll let you rest your voice, JQ. I'm going to kick it off with Rob. What's your thoughts about Super Bowl 50 here? Some preview kind of predictions here and kind of your thoughts about the game, sir.
Well, my thoughts are still the same. I still think Carolina is the favorite, and I think they're going to win the football game. And I still think that it could be by at least 10 to 14 points. And I said the same thing about the AFC Championship game, and Denver is going to have any chance. Their defense is going to have to come up big. I didn't think they would win that game, but they did. But, you know, their defense did come up big in a lot of ways, come up with some huge fourth down stops. They're going to have to figure out a way to get some pass rush on Cam Newton. Carolina's offensive line has been phenomenal this season, particularly their interior line, their center, Ryan Khalil, and their guards, Trey Turner as well. They've been huge. And what Shurler has been doing on the edge, he's been helping the tackles. He's been getting the extra tight end out on the edge. He's been putting some running backs out on the edge as well to help Chip. And I think they're going to do the same thing with DeMarcus Ware and Miller to see if they can be successful with keeping them off of Cam Newton off the edge. So I think, you know, I still feel the same way. I think they're the team to beat. I'm pulling for Denver personally for personal reasons, but I think Carolina is just a stronger team, and I think their defense could be, in a lot of ways, especially if Thomas Davis is healthy, could be just as good as Denver defense. But I think Cam Newton and Carolina's offensive line could be the difference in this game. And your other question you were asking regarding Cam Newton and his comments?
Yeah, we can get about, you know, we can kind of, you know, circle back to that if you want to, but I want to talk to Jake and get his thoughts here, and then we'll come back to that. Yeah. Omaha, Omaha. That's Peyton Manning, not a guy talking about. JQ, your thoughts about Super Bowl 50? Just a quick preview. We'll talk about Cam in a quick second, too, sir.
Oh, because I was going to say, you know, I just want to ask, what's going on with my man's pants and those shoes? Like, you, where do you find those at, man? How do you rock that for like a 4.5 hour flight? What are you thinking about, Cam? Anyway,
he lost the bet. He lost the bet. He lost the bet.
he lost a whole lot of bets this season.
I'll leave my comments on that one to myself. I probably can't see it on the show. I'll just say one cent on that. Why does a dude we have to wear capris?
those are leggings. I wouldn't call those capris. Those are leggings. And you can't buy them in the media section. I'm just going to put that out there. But go back to the game. I think it's really going to come down to what Peyton can do if he can still continue to be turnover free, right? So he's basically been a caretaker, letting the defense play, try to, you know, keep running, even if it's not necessarily working through the first half, keep running and try to loosen that defense up so that, you know, they can run in the second half and he can do some more of that dump off. Yeah, I totally agree. Thomas Davis's health, along with Keekly and Jared Allen, said he's 100%. I know I'm a little dubious on that. If you tell me you got a broken foot, I don't know how you can be 100% in 2 to 3 weeks, but he's going to play. But it's the same issue that I have with Carolina, and they made me look dumb, and I give them all the credit in the world, is outside of Josh Norman in that secondary, can they contain the different wide receivers? Because I like Sanders and I like Demaryius Thomas, and, you know, Norman can only guard one guy. So can they cover up the other part of the field? And they did a great job against Arizona by getting constant pressure and then dropping back in their linebackers, you know, take away that underneath route really well. And we know that Vernon Davis is just a ghost of himself now. So can Peyton actually move the ball opposite of Josh Norman to keep them in that game? Because I don't think they're going to be able to run at any point in the game. I don't think they'll even be able to loosen it up for the second half. He's going to have to make some throws on the outside and over the middle of that field into that dangerous Carolina defense. And can he continue to do that and play turnover-free football? That's what I'm looking for in the game. I still think Carolina wins a defensive battle, but I think, you know, Cam Newton's run pass ability is the difference.
Yeah, man, I agree with that, guys. And just kind of like piggybacking on both of those statements, too, because, you know, Robbie Nutter right on the head, you know, Peyton's got to play mistake-free football. I'm not quite sure he's going to be able to do that. They're going to, you know, kind of bump and run those receivers and make Peyton throw deep on them, which I don't think he has the arm strength anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, that Carolina defense is pretty dangerous. The Denver defense is dangerous too, but that's kind of like Cam is kind of the difference maker, guys. He's definitely the X factor, so that's kind of why you have to give the edge to Carolina. Even though to this day, I still can't figure out. I mean, if you had to stop just Greg, for some reason, nobody can stop Greg Olsen. That's all. You know, you got Ted Ginn obviously doing his thing, but in that running game, but it's just amazing to me. So, you know, I got my barber. He's a huge Denver Broncos fan. He's telling me that what they did to the Patriots, they're going to do the same thing to Cam. I'm not quite sure I'm as confident as him, but, you know, that's one thing that we're kind of looking at from that perspective too. So I think it's going to be a good game. Rob, I do think, unfortunately, you know, Carolina's a bitter thing. Carolina's Cam is going to – he's out to prove a lot, man. So I think it's going to be kind of his thing too, man, because, you know, I still harken back to whenever they drafted him. There was a lot of just messed up comments about Cam, so I'm kind of going for him in that instance too, because everyone – was talking pretty bad about him, man. So he's kind of rised above a lot of those issues and a lot of those instances too, man. So somebody even said that Tebow was more accurate than Cam Newton. So that's pretty interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, that's just outlandish.
I know that's what's getting.
Tebow was never an NFL quarterback.
I'm telling you, there was a clip of that. I know he was. I know he was. I'm telling you, it was funny because somebody actually said that, and I have to show you that clip too, man. It's just insane, man. But anyway, let's keep it.
You have to give
guys.
Cam Newton a lot of credit.
Good.
Cam Newton has improved. He has improved every year since he's been in the NFL. He's improved his accuracy, and that's the difference with Cam Newton. The run was always there when he first came in the league.
He's evolved.
He's definitely has evolved and learned the passing game. Has become a lot more accurate. He always had a lot of velocity on his throws. But the accuracy is there. He studied the game. He just didn't come in and rely on his talents. He's definitely gotten into the playbook, and he's improved every year, and he's really become a student of the game. So you really have to tip your hat to him. He's really, like I said, improved every year, and he's clearly the MVP. And what you're going to see the difference, I think, with Carolina against Denver versus what New England did against Denver, you're going to see Carolina do a lot of max protect in this game, and that's what they're good at. They're going to max protect on those edges against Von Miller and DeMarcus, Marcus Ware, and they're going to rely on just two and three route wide receivers and tight ends getting open. And I think that's what's going to give them a chance to protect Cam a little bit better than what New England did for Brady.
Is Rob on point there, Jake?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about it is, also you have to be aware of, is if they come rushing off those edges crazy and they don't have gap discipline, you have Cam that has the ability to tuck it and hit that, hit those lanes and get those 12 yards that's not going to necessarily show up until the end, and you look up and say, Dad, how does he have 90 yards rushing? Because they're rushing too wild. So can they change their rush to more of a must rush, like they used to try to do Michael Vick and keep him inside the pocket, as opposed to coming around wide where he can step up and really just take off and hurt you?
Good calls. Gentlemen, I'm going to ask this question to you because this is kind of going right into line with what we're talking about. Cam made some comments in this role that there's, about the fear of him and him being an African-American quarterback, if I can get that out, and the fact that no one has seen anything like him. I'm going to give a couple of quarterbacks, and I want you to kind of think about this as I'm comparing a couple of things. Michael Vick, Randall Cunningham, Dante Culpepper, Steve McNair, Warren Moon, Doug Williams. Now, heck, you could even go Russell Wilson if you want, RG3 if you want. Now, I named a couple of black quarterbacks, obviously, and that's, not that we're trying to call them out, but different quarterbacks that I've named, all of them had different skill sets. Michael Vick was one of the fastest. Randall Cunningham was a game changer. Dante Culpepper was a big guy. Steve McNair, Eric McNair, we know what he did. Warren Moon, same thing. I don't think anyone is very similar to what Cam brings, and I want you guys to kind of think about that. So I'm going to start with you, Rob. What do you think about Cam's statement? And there hasn't been a quarterback quite – I mean, everyone's had different elements, but Cam is kind of the complete package, 6'6", 250, whatever, how big he is, and he can throw. I mean, this is a big dude. I don't think there's anyone like him. Go ahead, Rob.
Probably the closest one out of that group that you just named that you can kind of come close to comparing him to Cam Newton would probably be Dante Culpepper because of the size factor. Now, obviously, I think Cam Newton is a better player than Culpepper was. But when you look at the size standpoint, Culpepper was a big guy as well, about 6'5", 6'6". And, in that 250, 260 range and can move a little bit as well. I don't think he's evolved to the point where Cam Newton is now. And, of course, he never took a team to the Super Bowl. When you look at Michael Vick, obviously he was, very fast. He could tuck it and run. The difference between Cam and Vic is Vic never became a student of the game, and that was his downfall. He never improved his accuracy. He could never hit the side of a barn, or as basketball players say, he couldn't throw it in the ocean. And so that was the difference with Michael Vick. Well, Cam has evolved, and he's become a better passer. And then if you mention players like Warren Moon, Steve McNair, Randall Cunningham, those are guys – that were versatile, but they really evolved in the passing game. They really were students of the game, and so was Doug Williams. Mm-hmm. And hopefully RG3 can turn it around at some point and get to that point as well. And you see Russell Wilson in the last couple of years has really improved in the passing game as well. And so he's really evolved as well. But, yeah, I would say out of that group, probably the closest that you could compare to Cam size factor and the run will be Culpepper, but I still don't think he's become he was ever the player that Cam has become today.
No one is like him. Go ahead, JQ, your thoughts. I'm just kind of like, now Gordon's ad lib there. I got one more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think we see that combination of the student of the game that he's become, like Rob said, and the size and the speed and the strength. It can be 3rd and 8. He finds a way to get that 8.5 yards to get that first down. And Culpepper's the closest, but Culpepper also had Randy Moss and Chris Carter. And you saw what happened once he didn't have them anymore. What happened to Miami? So
yeah,
it goes to that point as well. So I think Cam is on it. I think we're still at a point in society where, you know, we want to say that we've evolved, and I think we've evolved some, but not totally to where, you know, we can take him for what he does. He's giving the ball to kids. Yeah, he's dancing, but nobody's caring when Aaron Rodgers is doing, you know, discount double check move, and Tom Brady is yelling the head button. People, you know, nobody's caring about that. But when Colin Kaepernick kisses his bicep or Cam dabs, then, you know, it's a national riot. So I still think there's that that racial element underneath it, and hopefully we'll get to a point one day where we won't have to have that problem. So I think the part of what he's saying is spot on. But yeah, everybody you just named, I think he's a good combination. And you know, Russell's, you know, still the jury is out. I mean, he's got a Super Bowl, but he leaned a lot that year on Lynch and that defense. This is about Cam and everything he's doing and willing that team to the Super Bowl. And don't get me wrong, he's got a good defense, but I think this is still about Cam. So I think he's on. I just don't think people are ready to embrace him. They just didn't want to hear it. He's in your face, and he's making you appreciate him and you know, not admiring, but respect the fact that he's here. He's not a shrinking violet.
Good call, gentlemen. I love it. Good thing for Rob, I didn't mention Jamarcus Russell, but we're going to keep moving for sure. Mm-hmm.
That's a bus with right, a capital B.
All capital letters.
Oh, man. He's still trying to find some purple drink out there. All right, guys. Let's talk about Peyton Manning's future, guys. So will he retire after this game? I'm going to ask that to you, JQ. And I guess, yeah, what is his future? Because it looks kind of tough, man. Unless a miracle happens, I think it's going to be hard that Peyton Manning is going to win this game. But is this it? What do you think is going to happen, sir?
I do. I think it's his last game. And I've read reports where he's told his friends, you know, this is my last game. And then, you know, he told Belichick this is probably my last rodeo. I think he knows. Because, you know, can't forget, all the neck surgeries, he just doesn't have the zip on that ball anymore. And he's breaking down more and more. This year's his foot. Next year, you don't know what it might be. The only slight chance is if they have a really close game and he looks good. And John says, you know, I'm not sold on Brock Osweiler. But, you know, I mean, that's, I think it's slim, like 5% to, you know, maybe not even 5%, like 2%. I'm pretty sure it's done. I would love to see him go out on top, but I don't think it's going to happen. But, I mean, he's had his time. He's got one. I know he wants to get another one, you know, to cement his legacy. But I think the writing's been on the wall for him this year. Once you have Peyton Manning go from being who he was to basically talking about him being a game manager, I think the time is up.
Wow. What's up with that, Rob? Is JQ right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he's definitely is going to be his last game. I know the question was asked to him in media night, Super Bowl media night on last night, and he tried to, you know, go away from saying that he's going to retire after this game. And I think what he's doing is he's trying to, you know, remove attention off of the fact that this might be his last game. I don't think he wants that to be the main news factor of this Super Bowl week. But I think deep down he already knows this is going to be his last game. But I just don't think he's ready to tell that to the media because he doesn't want to make it a big issue this week during Super Bowl week and make it a distraction from the team. But I definitely think this is going to be his last rodeo, and this is it for him. I mean, he had 9 touchdowns and 17 INTs this season. I mean, that's not a Peyton Manning type season, and I just can't see him coming back, especially, you know, at playing at that level. I just can't see him continue to try to keep playing.
Think he's going to be a coach somewhere, or kind of take some time off, or I don't know if you're going to say something too, JQ. You had another thought about that, but
that's it. And the thing about it too is. Would he even come back at a lower cap number, right? Because you got to pay Von Miller now. And, I mean, you saw what he did. Yeah. He's not going to come back and make, you know, $2 million just to hang around. I don't think he wants to do that. So you also got to think about that as well, the compensation. And the Broncos aren't going to spend that kind of money on him because they have other holes to fill, not fill, but to maintain, right? So I'm pretty sure that he's done. I totally agree with Rob. He just doesn't want to make it just the main storyline. He would love for the storyline to be about Cam and everything else and put all the focus on them so he could just quietly go about what he's going to do this week. So, you know, he knew he was going to get that question. He did what he could to avoid it without out and out lying. But I'm pretty sure everybody knows that this is going to be his last game.
And Andre brought up the question, will he turn to coaching? I don't, you know, sometimes great players don't make great coaches. You know, we've seen that a lot in, you know, football, basketball, what have you, maybe a few here and there. I'm thinking more on the broadcasting end for Peyton Manning.
Okay.
I think that's probably more of where you're probably going to see him head. I mean, I don't know that for a fact. This is just a hunch on my part. But sometimes the players of that caliber, you look at a guy like Gary Kubiak, who was a backup quarterback his whole career. I mean, those are typically the guys that turn out to be coaches. Look at a guy like Tyronn Lue for the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, mainly a role player, backup player. You know, those typically, for whatever reason, those guys become better coaches than superstars do for the most part over history. You know, maybe you can say Larry Bird had a little success as a head coach, but most of the time, the great players don't turn out to be, you know, great head coaches. So I more so see him maybe going into broadcasting at some point. Maybe even dibbling and dabbling into some ownership, too, at some point.
You know what? I agree with that. But one little thing to that, I could see him not necessarily want to be the head coach, but like I could see him want to be like the quarterback's coach, where because he just loves processing the information and disseminating it. Mm-hmm. I think he could be like a quarterback coach where he doesn't want to make it, because if he becomes a head coach, it's going to always be about him, right? So even though he's got this team, it's always going to be about him, and are you trying to live through them and yada yada yada. But I could see somebody saying, "Hey, man, can you come, you know, mentor my young QB, or maybe having his own QB camp, John Gruden or the Tom House guy that does all the work with all the top quarterbacks now." I could see him doing something like that outside of maybe broadcasting as well.
Well, you know, he already runs a quarterback camp every summer in Thibodaux, Louisiana, with his dad and Eli. So I'm sure they're going to continue that and keep that going as well. I can also probably see him doing something similar to what John Elway's doing for the Broncos right now. I can see him in that kind of role as well. I agree with JQ. I don't see head coaching at all.
Yeah. Okay. I think he loves the game, man. You saw him on the sidelines. He was always involved. So that's just me, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, he may not be a head coach, but I think somewhere that creative juices are still there. So I think he may have some – he's going to dab it in something, too. So that was just me. And a way for me to fit the dab in the conversation, too. All right, guys. About 8 minutes. You like that? 8 minutes here. And we're going to talk about JQ's pupil here. He wants to be a life coach for Johnny Manziel. Couple of strong statements. He wants my check. Couple of strong statements here. And obviously, you know, Hugh Jackson was hired to become the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And the word on the street, I guess his first move in that, you know, we didn't know if they were going to, you know, what they were going to do with Johnny Manziel. It looks like they're going to move on. And Manziel is clearly in the news. I'm going to get your thoughts about that, JQ, on this. And it looks like they're going to be in the market for a quarterback in this upcoming draft. So your thoughts, sir.
Yeah, and I remember we had this conversation the summer before football started that we thought that he really needed just to get his life together before he even talks about playing quarterback again. And I don't think that's changed at all. I think he's got to get himself together before he can do anything else, before I think another NFL team will give him a shot. Because if you bring him in, he's going to be a circus. So you can't tell me that you can't bring Michael Sandman because it's going to be a circus, but then you bring in Johnny Manziel because it's going to be equal circus. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I also think that was partially the first step of Hugh Jackson taking that job, because he saw, you know, twice a year up close with Cincinnati, that foolishness that was happening on the Browns sideline. And the fact that his players were telling him how they were able to get in his head and knock him around. So I don't think he would have taken that Cleveland job without him saying, you know, we need to take a quarterback early in this draft. I don't think Johnny Manziel is going to get it. We need to let him go. I'm sorry you made that choice, but the writing's on the wall. So I'm not really surprised about it. He just has had too many missteps off the field.
Mm-mm. Rob, your thoughts?
Boy, yeah, I think JQ hit it on the head there, hit it on the nose with all of his comments there. And I totally agree. Hugh Jackson, that was one of the things that he went in that interview saying, if I'm going to get this job, I want every assurance that I'll have the right to choose my quarterback and that we move on from Johnny Manziel, which it looks like they're going to do. Obviously, they have the number 2 pick in the draft. I mean, I have them taking Jared Goff, quarterback from Cal at the moment. I know Carson Wentz from North Dakota State is climbing up draft boards. I still have them going with Goff. And I think he will probably be a good fit for Hugh Jackson and the style of offense that he wants to run to, the quick release, getting the ball out fast, and probably be more along the lines of a West Coast-style QB for Hugh Jackson and probably be the guy that they can grow with for that franchise. But And Manziel, obviously, the Browns are going to wait till March 9th to release him. That's when a new league year starts. And when he's released, since he's still under 4 years, he'll still have to go through the waiver system. So there'll be 31 other teams that can claim him under the same contract that the Browns have. And it's not a huge contract because it's still his rookie contract, but it's still all guaranteed money. So I can't see a team picking him up through the waiver system and pay him that guaranteed money, even though it's not a lot of money. I think you're going to see teams wait and see how he gets his life together before they even take a shot at him here in the next however so many months before August, before training camp, before you see a team take a chance on him.
That's my quarterback, man. That's my quarterback.
I don't think he's nobody quarterback.
So is that what Jerry Jones is saying right about now? Is this kind of like this kind of made in heaven thing, or is it RG3? What's your thoughts about this, Rob? Are the Cowboys kind of in the running for Manziel or what?
I think maybe Jerry Jones would have considered claiming him off waiver if it wasn't for this last incident. But I think with this last incident now, I don't even think the Cowboys, even as a gambler or renegade that Jerry Jones is, I don't see him taking a chance on Johnny Manziel in this situation. Like I said, maybe down the road. I mean, I have the Cowboys taking the quarterback in the first round. I haven't taken Carson Wentz out of North Dakota State at number 4.
Wow.
And so I see them ready to, you know, Tony Romo just had another surgery here. So I think they're looking for somebody that can come in and start and, you know, be ready to move on from Romo here with all the injuries that he's going through as well. So I think they stay away from Manziel. Maybe they give RG3 a look. You know, we'll have to see what happens. I think they have a better chance of getting RG3 than they would Manziel, that's for sure.
That's my quarterback, JQ.
Sorry for coughing. Yeah, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And outside of that, you know, the past incidents, if nothing else than teach them from the Greg Hardy incident this year, and I think they're going to move on from him as well, is why do you need that circus? You need to, you know, I know Jerry likes to have the spotlight on him, but it's having the spotlight on you for all the wrong reasons once again. You got to let Johnny get his life together. I think RG3 is a much better fit for them at this point. Let him sit there, learn behind Romo, make sure his health is together, and then move forward. They don't need that circus. The Cowboys need to get back to being relevant for actually winning on the field and not for who they can bring onto the team that causes the most controversy.
Wow. All right. Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right, Rob, we got about 2 minutes here. Time is flying. You want to go ahead and set up the OT portion? And while you're setting up the OT portion, guys, I want you to think about this. I know a couple things happened in that the Cowboys got rid of, you know, your boy Greg Hardy, which is a bad decision as well. But I want you guys to think about a certain player, Calvin Johnson. Is he Hall of Fame material? I know he's thinking about retiring, word on the street. If he does retire, do you think he's eligible for Hall of Fame? Go ahead to the OT portion, Rob, and we'll think about that thought as we get ready. And we'll talk about some NBA as well. Go ahead, Rob, and fantasy shout-outs.
Ladies and gentlemen, definitely, we certainly appreciate everyone tuning in to our show on tonight. We are back on again on next Tuesday night. That's going to be February 9th. That's going to be Mardi Gras next Tuesday night. Yeah, so we're going to have a big party on next Tuesday, so you don't want to miss it. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Don't miss us on next week. We're getting ready to go in our OT portion. We're going to have some comments, as you just heard Andre say about Calvin Johnson. We got some NBA to cover. And, of course, a quick fantasy shout-out in our OT. So, unfortunately, we can't give you that portion of our show live. So, when you're driving tomorrow or you're at work on lunch or whatever, click on the same link, and you'll get to hear some NBA talk and some Calvin Johnson retirement talk as well. So you don't want to miss that. And give us some feedback. Write us. Let us know what you think about the show. Let us know if you agree with our predictions or disagree with us. We would love to hear from you. Good night, people.
JQ.
Yeah, I just want to know how Tyler Eifert is the only person to get hurt in the glorified game of flag football, but that's something else. Stay classy, San Diego, and you pony up that money to get a stadium. Keep the Chargers in San Diego. Go Chargers!
Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation.
I am.
What about
Peterson? Think about it all the time, man. What are you about to say, Rob? What are you going to say, Rob?
I said, what about O Oakland. Rob? Should they keep the Raiders?
Yeah.
Yeah, hold the conversation. Hold the conversation. Oh, man. I love it, gentlemen. Oh, man, officially we are into the OT portion, so we're going to keep moving here. We're going to spend the rest of the time talking about, as we wrap up the last thing about Calvin Johnson, but I do want to talk about some NBA and doing some fantasy shout-outs. So hopefully you're kind of gathering your thoughts, guys. I'm going to give you just a little bit more time here. Calvin Johnson, word on the street is that he will retire. And I pose the question if you think that he is a Hall of Famer. So a couple of things in his career, 731 receptions, 11,619 yards. I think he had 83 touchdowns in his career. Man, which is a pretty – I think, what, 10 years, I want to say? Let me look at this correctly here if I'm not correctly. But yeah.
Nine, is it nine?
Was it nine? I think this is one to two. Yeah, going into his 10. Okay. I was making sure I was looking at that correctly. So, yeah, ninth season, guys. So do you think that he is a Hall of Famer at this juncture? I'm going to start with you, JQ. What are your thoughts about this, sir?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I don't know if he is. Maybe I need to delve more into the numbers. And he also, I think, set the single-season reception yardage, right? He almost got to 2,000 that year. It was like 1971 or something like that. I think he's in the Hall of very, very good. I don't know if right now I could say he's in the Hall of Fame. And you got to think, it's always a logjam to get in the Hall of Fame at the wide receiver position. And you just talked about Mike Martz, you know, getting mad at T.O. as a finalist over Holton Bruce, and you still got Marvin Harrison sitting out there. You see how long it took Tim Brown to get in, and Buffalo to get in as well. Their wide receiver from those four things.
Andre,
Andre Reed. So I don't know. I mean, he can make a compelling case, but as of right now, I think I would have to say no because by the time he gets around to it in this era of passing, he might have some people start to creep up on those numbers as well. So I would say no right now. As much as it pains me, I love Calvin Johnson, but I'm going to have to say no.
What about you, Rob? What do you think about this?
I'm going to say yes, just because of the numbers he has put up every year since he's been in the league. I think when you look at a guy like Jim Brown, he's a Hall of Famer, and he had a short career basically because of the numbers that he put up during that time. And I'm going to say the same for Calvin Johnson. But I'm going to say he's not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, because he never won a championship, and just because if he does retire, it's going to be considered that he's, you know, retiring, you know, somewhat young. And so I'm going to say he will not be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but yes, he will be a Hall of Famer just because of the big numbers that he's put up every year since he's been in the league.
Awesome, awesome time. He had about 1,964 yards that amazing season, as you mentioned. So that's pretty significant too. But like I said, I don't know if it's enough for him. That was a great season as well. Thank you, gentlemen, for indulging that question. I was just curious about that because somebody posed the question, and I was like, man, I think that's a great topic to discuss too.
It is.
All right, gentlemen, let's talk about some NBA here. And word on the street is that the Warriors are a front runner to sign Kevin Durant. And this is kind of a huge bombshell if this actually goes down. You know, I guess if you can't beat him, join him. Word on the street is that you thought that he was going to go to Washington. But, wow, if this is actually true, gentlemen, you talk about a huge shift in power. The Warriors just keep reloading. If this is true, I've heard some people say this will be the worst decision since the decision that LeBron made, if he makes that. But, Rob, yeah, what are your thoughts about this? And is it what's the kind of truth of this particular report?
Well, obviously, you know, we have to wait and see if there's some legitimacy to this. And, I mean, there's reports that he and Russell Westbrook are going to team up and go to the Lakers in a couple of years. Now, this report comes out. There's been a report about him going to Washington. So there's been all kind of reports. This is obviously the latest of many reports involving Kevin Durant. But I tell you what. If he was to go join Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, man, that is scary. And, you know, you're talking about three guys that can shoot the ball from anywhere on the court practically. I mean, they're already unguardable right now. They're three guys that can run as well. And, I mean, that would be a scary situation for the rest of the NBA. And the Warriors are already a scary situation for the rest of the NBA.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously that would be a terror. And you can just hand them some championships here in the future.
Easily.
Going forward. Now, the Warriors, obviously the Warriors will have to do some things with their roster. They will probably have to get rid of Harrison Barnes, Andre Iguodala, and also Andrew Bogut. But I'm sure they would do it willingly. If they had, if they knew they would have an opportunity to get Kevin Durant on their ball club. So, and you know, the NBA salary cap has gone up tremendously this coming off season. So, you know, there's going to be some room to be able to pay all of those guys as well. So, with the NBA salary cap is getting ready to take a huge hike this coming off season.
Got about 10 minutes. So, JQ, you got him excited, Rob. In that, you know, the report of Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant going to the Lakers. But yeah, let's kind of temper this. And no disrespect to you, JQ, but if that happens, we'll hold a conversation. But, you know, what do you think about this Warriors, Kevin Durant, if he decides to leave OKC?
Well, I think a part of this is also because he's coming up, of course, with free agency, and then you get Westbrook right after him. And we've all talked about, you know, for years, can they really coexist? Do they enjoy coexisting? And they've been doing a good job of trying to keep the lid on and saying, yeah, we can play together. But I'm of the mind that I think that Westbrook needs his own team. He's just an alpha dog that needs to have his own team. And I think it may come down to that. I think it's a pipe dream for the Lakers. I would love that. But I can't see Kevin Durant giving up a year of his prime on a promise that Westbrook is going to join him. So I don't think that's going to happen. As far as the Warriors, yeah, man, I want to see if he would get the same level of vitriol that LeBron got for joining Miami. The whole, you know, if you can't beat him, join him. But I would also put this part about Golden State. Yeah, the salary cap is going to go up, but the people you just mentioned, and Harrison Barnes, Andre Iguodala, and Andre Bogut, are part of the reason why they are able to play elite-level defense. So if you have to get rid of those three guys to bring in Durant, how many other guys can you bring in behind them, even with the rise of the salary cap, that can play that level of defense and mess with that culture and keep you at the same level? So, yeah, on paper, it looks scary, like just give them the ring. But, you know, we all know it takes chemistry, has to be worked out on the court. So, you know, it may not work, but I still think it probably would. But, I don't think you can just automatically hand it to them unless guys are willing to just come in there and take a pay cut to get the free reins just to play defense. You want to play defense for $1 million? I'll play defense for $1 million. Like, if they do that, then yeah. But, that would be ridiculous, though. I mean, that would be really ridiculous. I don't know what you do to guard them on the offensive end.
This is a question I would like to ask you guys, and this is kind of up for debate as well. If Golden State wins another championship this season, what is worse looked upon, Durant joining a champion or LeBron going to a team to build a champion?
What's looked
it's
worse
be
upon?
It's going to be LeBron. I don't think Kevin Durant would get that. I don't think Kevin Durant would get that level of hate that LeBron got. I just don't. I think that the spotlight shines on him in a different way than it shines on Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I agree.
I think that's a good point.
Folks... Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
No, go ahead.
Mm-mm. No, I was just going to say, man, anytime that you have I'm looking at the Durant system, it's tough, man, because anytime you try to leave and, like, join a champ, it never works. It seems like it never works. It happened with, you know, Karl Malone and Gary Payton. They try to go, you know, certain things that, you know, happen with Charles Barkley. You go, it just never seems to work. But the way that Kevin Durant's personality, it blends with the Warriors. So, like you said, like JQ said, he can come in, all right, Steph Curry, we'll take the time out. Boom, I got you. It's like an all-star team. And you just got a couple. I mean, there may not be enough rebounds, man. Yeah, just play a little defense. You're going to outscore everyone in the gym, man. I mean, that's amazing to me. Anyway,
I think that's
insane.
I agree with what JQ said. I think LeBron, just because of his stature in the league, they're going to find things to criticize him about.
Yep.
But I think personally, it looks worse for a guy of Kevin Durant's caliber to join a champion than it is for a guy to go to a team to help build the champion. And if a guy of his caliber, you would want him to, you know, be a main focal point on being a champion, not joining a champion. But I think LeBron will still get the criticism just because of who he is. And
yep.
So I do agree with that aspect. But I think normally, I think a player of his caliber should probably get more criticism for joining a champion than a guy that's going to team to build a champion.
Yeah.
Can't beat him, join him, Rob. If you beat him, join him, man. The West is always going to be that champ. I know the Clippers are like, what about us? What about us? We'll get rid of Blake Griffin for you. Come on, Kevin. Let's talk about Dwight Howard and getting suspended for touching an official. What's up with that, Rob?
Well, it was kind of somewhat silly. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, to be honest with you, but it is an NBA rule, and so they had to suspend him. But I don't think he had any ill intent personally with the situation. But it's just an NBA rule. You can't touch an official. And like I said, if you really look at it, it didn't look like it was anything major, at least in my book. But, you know, it's just following the NBA rule. So it's just another one of those things for the Rockets. They're having a tough season this season. It just seemed like, you know, nothing could go right for them on this coming season. They're just barely holding on to a playoff spot with a losing record in the West this season. This is a team that went to the Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah.
And I can definitely see Dwight Howard being moved either prior to this trading deadline or some point this offseason.
What's up, JQ?
I think he can opt out. Yeah, he can opt out. So it's going to be hard to move him for anything of any significant value. I think he has to opt out of his contract, and they say he's going to exercise it so he can sign that new deal when the salary cap goes up. I think this is just about Dwight Howard and his perception around the league and the fact that he gets so many technical fouls every year. I think the officials have just had enough. I agree, Rob, with Rob. It's just, you know, it's the rule. But if it was somebody else that they didn't have a problem with, you know, game in and game out, barking at him and just, you know, always being every year on the cusp of being suspended for having too many techs, that he may not have been suspended. But and it's also just sad. Dwight Howard is just on the downslope at this point. And I think he's going to find a rude awakening, even with the salary cap going up, that nobody's going to spend on him like he thinks they should, because he still does not have a post game. Now, you can call that little crazy running hook that he just throws into the basket a move, but, you know, I wouldn't pay $20 million for that a year, and especially given the way we're going to, you know, the spread the floor and shooting the three in the NBA. I don't think he's worth that money anymore. I think he's going to find out.
Yeah, for his athleticism, in my opinion, he's definitely underachieved as an NBA player. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
That, and he's been hanging out with Rasheed Wallace too much, too, so that's a whole other conversation. But,
hey.
Technical fouls, man. Rob,
yep.
Really quickly, you want to do some fantasy shout-outs here as we wrap this another issue up of the show?
Ball don't lie.
Yes, real quick, fantasy shout-outs. Pastor Rock, Chester from New Orleans with a 7-1 victory over Madhouse on Madison. My fellow co-host, JQ, Ohio Players. 7-1 win over the Juth. And, of course, yours truly, fadeaway jumper, beat Anthony Davis, a new 23, 7-1 as well. And believe it or not, I finally moved into place. And so those are our fantasy shout-outs for the week.
Forgive me.
And thank you all for contending and competing with us. And we look forward to continuing to move on as there's still a lot of basketball to be played. Thank you, people.
Gentlemen. It's been a fun night. Thank you for letting me have this moment and keeping everything close to normal here. I know you want to wrap this up. JQ, anything you want to say before we get ready to wrap up this particular issue?
I was just
going to
say, yes, sir, everybody, thank you for listening and downloading. We appreciate all the love and support. We're going to try to keep this thing rocking. And thoughts and prayers with you and your family there, Dre. Just keep us posted on what's going on, bro.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. Anything else you want to say, Rob?
Just join us next Tuesday night, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back on the air 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. And for those of you all listening across the globe, we certainly appreciate you all tuning in as well. I believe in Germany, that'll be 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning. So definitely tune in. We'll look forward to you all sending us some information. Let us know if you'd like the show. If you'd like to see us do something different, give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you all. Good night, people.
Love it. And like I said, it's going to be a good week. Make it a Super Bowl week where I'm curious to see what happens if somehow Denver pulls off the most ultimate upset. But, yeah, gentlemen, it's going to be a fun week, man. I like I said, it's going to be a lot of things. We're going to talk about the Pro Bowl, man. That was pretty a waste of my time. I can't believe that even happened. Anyway, man, I told the conversation, man. That was terrible. I don't know.
The worst all-star really game in professional sports.
And 100% the one player to get hurt is the Cincinnati Bengals. The one player to get hurt is the Cincinnati Bengals. That's just how it goes for Cincinnati. That's just ridiculous.
J.Q., he's got a rant every week.